From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, a conversation here in Los Angeles with Britain's man in Washington. First, though, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments this morning in one of the most important religious freedom cases of this term. Locke versus Davie involves the question of whether states can deny scholarship money to students who want to use it for religious education. Slate and Day to Day's legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick was at the high court for this morning's argument. She joins us now. Hi, Dahlia. This is one of the two really important religion cases before the court this year. The other, of course, is whether the words "under God" can be in the Pledge of Allegiance. But tell us about Locke and Davie and why it's so important.
Well, it's an important case because it's going to have absolutely massive consequences pretty much any way the court goes. The case essentially involves a Washington State scholarship program that gives university scholarships to very bright kids of middle and lower income so long as they don't study theology. And the plaintiff in this case is a young man named Josh Davie, who was found to be qualified for a scholarship and then had it revoked when he declared his major in pastoral ministries. Washington State has a much more restrictive constitution in terms of public funding for religious education, and Washington argues he does not have an entitlement to that money if he's going to use it to study religion. The case essentially involves Davie's suit against the state of Washington, in which he says he wants his scholarship money back. It's not fair to discriminate against him simply because he's studying religion.
This involves two issues that are very important to the court, Dahlia: states' rights and freedom of religion. Explain the conflict, can you?
Sure, Alex. It's really important to understand that the Rehnquist Court has sort of been revolutionary in two ways. One is this, quote, federalism revolution, where they've accorded a lot more power and autonomy to the states over the years, letting the states make their own decisions in matters of state policy. The court has also been slowly but effectively chipping away at that, quote, unquote, wall that used to exist between church and state. This case, of course, pits those two against each other. And what was really interesting this morning at argument is we heard almost nothing about states' rights. That was a huge surprise. I would have expected to hear a lot more about Washington State being entitled to make its own decisions about how it feels about asking taxpayers to fund religion. But no, we heard a sort of straight-on case about whether this is discrimination against religious students.
And did you hear anything coming from the justices in the period of time when they get to question the attorneys? Did you hear them say anything that kind of guided you or suggested which way the ruling's going to go?
Well, in some ways, it was not a surprise. You have those justices who really have been for chipping away the wall between church and state coming out very strongly in favor of allowing people to study religion the same way they would be allowed to study math or literature. So you had Justices Scalia and Kennedy, Chief Justice Rehnquist, really asking a lot of questions about, isn't this discrimination? How can you justify singling out only people who want to study theology for to revoke their funding? On the other hand, you had the traditional liberals, Justice was Breyer, Ginsburg, Souter, and Stevens, making very forceful arguments that, look, the state is allowed to say that no taxpayer should be forced to subsidize a religious viewpoint with which they don't agree. You're probably getting bored of hearing this, Alex. I'm getting bored of saying it, but in some sense it will come down yet again to Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. And she was really tough on both sides today. She seemed to be most concerned about the long-range consequences of a decision in which Washington State was forced to subsidize not only religious education, but how that would affect things like the voucher programs, and down the line, how it might affect things like President Bush's faith-based charities initiative. So she seemed to be very, very, very much on the fence and very concerned about the long-range consequences.
Great. Thank you very much. Legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick, she writes the jurisprudence column for Slate. Thank you, Dahlia.
Thank you, Alex.